hope to many around the globe, transforming lives into legacies. Live in Word with Pastor Mensah Otabil. And now, today's word.
All right. Now, when Paul is talking here, he says, may the Lord of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole, everybody say whole. And he talks about three things. What does he talk about? Spirit, soul, body. Underline those three words in your Bible. May your whole spirit, soul, body be preserved. So it means when we are talking about the whole man, the whole human being, the whole human being from this passage is made up of a spirit, a soul, and a body. A spirit and a soul and a body. That's the whole human being. So let's look at the three components that the passage highlights. First is the word spirit. In the Greek language is pneuma. And the spirit, the same as the ruach in the Hebrew, spirit, the spirit of God, relates to the spirit world. Now remember, the spirit of man is not the same as the spirit of God. They share similarity, but they are not the same. However, the spirit of man can receive the spirit of God. The spirit of man can communicate with the spirit of God. But the opposite is also true, that the spirit of man can communicate with other spirits that are not the spirit of God. So not everything spiritual is of God. Because God is a spirit, Satan is a spirit, demons are spirits. So when you are maneuvering in the spirit world, you have to be very careful whom you are contacting or what you are contacting. Or even when somebody is ministering to you spiritually, you have to determine what that person is contacting and ministering and imparting. Because not all spirits are the spirit of God. But God is a spirit. Man is a spirit. Unfortunately, the bad boy is also a spirit. The devil, demons, they are also spirits. So when you say, I'm in the spirit, I sense something, you have to be careful what you are sensing. Not everything spiritual is of God, but here we're talking first about the spirit of man. I'll later talk about other spiritual dynamics in the series, but I'm just laying the foundation. The spirit relates to the spirit world. Then the second thing Paul talks about is the soul. In the Greek is psuche. Or in our normal language is psyche. It is out of that word that you have all the psycho words, psychoanalysis, psychiatry, psychology, the psyche. Now, when we talk about psychiatry and psychology and all the psyches, they all relate to things of the mind and the emotions. Things of the mind and the emotions. So there is a part of man in his composite being that is psyche, that relates to things of the mind and the emotions. Intellect, will, it's all in the mind. And that is the part that is a result of the breath of God or the psyche. The third one is the body. In the Greek is soma, and it relates to the material world. This is the part of the of our being that we are familiar with. This one, the soma, the flesh, the body, That's what you see. That's what I see when I look at you. You say, oh, he's tall. It means that this one is tall. The body is tall. He's handsome, whatever that means. It means the body is handsome. She's beautiful, whatever that means. It means the body is beautiful. But all of that paints a picture of the physical material man. But man is not only physical material, as Paul is telling us. The whole human being has got other composites. There is a spirit, there is a soul, and there is a body. So how does all of this play together? How does it all work together? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 to 14. And then I will later read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. And I want you to listen to the language of this passage very carefully. And this is the Apostle Peter talking. He says, yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Look at the word he's using. Peter is talking about something he calls the tent. The tent. What is he talking about? Now, Paul also uses the same language in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So, Paul says, there is something called my earthly house. My earthly house. And this earthly house he calls the tent. And Paul says, this tent can actually be put off. And when I get to heaven, I'll get another tent to live in. So what is he talking about? There are two things I want you to note. First, is that the body is described in both instances as the tent. It is needed for life here on earth. It is a dwelling place. So if the body is a tent, who is a tenant? Who is a tenant? Because if there is an earthly house, who lives there? And remember, he says, I will put off this tent. Who is I who will put off the tent? So there is somebody living inside the tent, or something living inside the tent, that is now asserting itself and making a statement. And if you look at the passage, that person is called I, quote and unquote, or spirit. And that I, or spirit, is the tenant living in the tent. There is a spirit in man. The inspiration of the Almighty gives him understanding. In much of our lives here on earth, we may know the tent, but never get to know the tenant. Because much of what we do is based on what we see physically. So sometimes you can be in a meeting and they'll say, God is moving, the presence of God is here. And you'll see people in the church like that. The Spirit of God is moving, and they are still like that. You know why? Because they are so conditioned to the tent that when the Spirit of God is moving, they can't sense it, because the part of the of us that senses the Spirit of God is not your body. It is that which is in you that is bearing the image of that which created you. It's called the Spirit. So if you don't learn to hear the Spirit, see the Spirit, feel the Spirit, you cannot sense when God is at work. And God will be speaking to you, but you may not hear it. Because when God speaks to you, he's not going to come to your ear and say, hey, Mensa, Asara. that's not what God is going to do. God is going to talk to the tenant. Because his spirit, there is a spirit in man. So when he communicates to that which has his properties, the spirit. Now, sometimes when I hear it, it will be as if my ear is hearing it outwardly, but it's not actually my ear hearing it. It is the inner man hearing it. So when, for example, Samuel hears a voice, Samuel, and he goes to Eli. Samuel, he goes to Eli. Why doesn't Eli hear the same thing? Because it's not a physical voice he's hearing. And it's not his outer ear that is hearing. It's his inner ear. And we'll talk a little bit about that inner man later on. All right. So my last passage for today, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27. Proverbs 20:27 says, and it says, I like it, the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart. The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord. The Old King James Version says, the spirit of man is a candle of the Lord. Now, did he say the spirit of man is the candle of man or the light of man? He says the candle of the Lord. So when God is coming to show you something, what is he going to use? He's going to use light. And where is the light coming from? Your spirit. Your spirit is the light of the Lord. The Lord is going to reveal things to you through the spirit. He shows you things through the spirit. And if you are sensitive in the spirit, when the light comes on, you would know God has turned on the light. When a moment comes, you know, everything that God wants to do in our lives, it registers in our spirit first before it happens. In fact, if you are a believer, I would dare push this thought a little further and say, that there is nothing that happens to you that was not first indicated to you in your spirit. You may not have paid attention. You may not have listened. You may have ignored it. You may not even have understood what it meant. But God turned on the light. And he turns on the light not in your ear, but in the candle of the Lord, which is called the spirit of man. Nothing happens to the believer that God did not indicate to them ahead of time. Nothing. There is nothing that happens to you that was a surprise to God. Nothing that happens to you is a surprise to God. And God knows your end from the beginning. And when he wants to communicate to you, he's going to use his light. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. And God uses it to navigate and show us his will. The problem is, we don't even know who the spirit is. And these days, I dare say, what has happened to a lot of Christians, they have subletted the voice of God to somebody else. So when they want to know the will of God, they'll go to someone and say, what is God saying to me? What is God saying to me? Now you are a child of God. He's spirit. You have spirit. Your spirit is his candle. If God wants to show you light, do you think he will first of all show it outside of you? No, he will first of all show it inside of you. And because we haven't trained ourselves to discern properly when the spirit of man is in contact with the spirit of God, we don't pick up on what God is telling us. But I hope that by the time we finish this series, one of the benefits you'll get is that you can discern when the spirit of God has made contact with your spirit and he's turning on light in your life. Then you can know God just told me something. God just indicated something to me. God showed me something. Not everything spiritual is of God. Get that? Not everything spiritual is of God. Next week, what I'm going to do is try to define, especially between the spirit and the soul. Because if you don't know the difference, then there are things that may be happening in your soul and you think it's in your spirit, because both are invisible and both are part of you. But one can be deceived very easily. So you have to be very careful about the things you say you sense inside of you. And then maybe later it will explain why you can meet somebody, a psychic, who can tell you things about yourself and they don't believe in God. And say, how does he know? There is a way they know. And when you get to that point, you are not going to be overwhelmed by somebody giving you information about yourself, because you understand the dynamics that are at play. Are you following me? So we're going to continue teaching on life in the spirit from next week. Let's talk to God for a moment before we close. At this point, I just want you to pray a simple prayer and say, ask the Lord to make you more aware of the spirit within you and his spirit at work in you. Just pray and say, Lord, help me to discern, help me to know, help me to identify, help me to recognize, help me to make sense when your spirit is speaking. I don't want to be deceived. I don't want to miss the mark. I don't want to make a mistake. I just want to know your will. I want to walk in the fullness of your will. I want to hear you when you're speaking. I don't want to live my life just blindly. I want to live my life in the light. Just talk to the Lord and allow him to breathe guidance into your spirit. Father, we come to you knowing that you are our maker. You made us. Your spirit made us. Your spirit formed us and shaped us. We are shaped according to your will and your purposes. And you have placed in us the mechanism, the spirit, by which we can make contact with you. And so, Lord, we pray for sensitivity in our spirits, spiritual sensitivity, spiritual awareness, spiritual alertness, so that, Lord, when you breathe, we would hear. When you indicate, we will feel it. That when you speak, we will understand. Help us, Lord, to be open up to your Holy Spirit, that you may move and work in us and do an awesome work in us by your spirit and through your spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Give the Lord praise, somebody.
Thank you for listening to Live and Word. To interact with Pastor Mensah Otobi, like his page on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter at Mensah Otobi. Email otobi@centralgospel.com or call +233 302 688 000.